I'm Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition,
sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. CBS News has confirmed the Justice Department is investigating TikTok for possible spying on U.S. citizens, including American journalists. The app's owner, ByteDance, has acknowledged some employees were engaged in that activity and says those involved have been fired. The revelation comes as TikTok CEO Zhao Jiechu is scheduled to testify before the House next Thursday. The U.S. government, as well as those of Britain and New Zealand, have restricted the use of TikTok on government devices due to concerns about Chinese spying. President Biden wants Congress to get tougher on top executives of failed banks.
The president says current law limits the government's ability to hold failed bankers accountable, so he's asking for changes. One proposal would allow the FDIC to fine bank executives for recklessness and grow the agency's ability to claw back profits from stock sales that occurred just before a bank's collapse. Mr. Biden is also asking Congress to authorize a move to keep failed bankers from working again in the industry.
That's CBS's Stephen Portnoy. The parent company of Silicon Valley Bank has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
The bankruptcy filing, which was widely expected, comes a week after the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank.
Well, this is the normal procedure when the FDIC has taken over a failed bank.
Bert Ely is a banking consultant.
Usually these banks are owned by what they call financial holding companies, and they get put into bankruptcy because they have liabilities to the federal government.
Much of the holding company is already under the control of federal regulators, the entire incident has sparked fears of wider problems in the global banking system. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
An arrest warrant has been issued for Russian President Putin and another Russian official, European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell.
This international criminal court issue is just the start in the process of accountability and holding Russia and its leader to account for the crimes and atrocities they are committing in Ukraine.
The warrant comes after Russia deported children from Ukraine and sent them to Russia or other Russian-controlled territories. The other official under warrant is Russia's Commissioner for Children's Rights. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy hosted the traditional Friends of Ireland luncheon at the Capitol on this St. Patrick's Day. Ireland's Prime Minister was there. So was President Biden.
Here in Washington, we've always been able to work across aisle on Irish issues, no matter what our politics have been, no matter what else we agree or disagree on. So, Mr. Speaker, thank you for bringing us together again.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Illinois is cashing in on Wisconsinites' need for weed. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation estimates the state made over $36 million in tax revenue last year from Wisconsinites traveling across the border to buy pot. Governor Evers is proposing fully legalizing marijuana in his state budget, but state Republicans say that's not going to happen. The name of Father John Coulinan, who served at St. Paul's Church in Mosinee and St. Mary's in Wausau, has been added to the list of credibly accused priests within the La Crosse Diocese. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Coulinan has multiple substantiated allegations of abuse. He died in 1974. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call launched the investigation into clergy abuse in April of 2021 and since has generated about 250 reports from across the state. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry, weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is Rocker, and I bet you didn't know I was a realtor. Come down to my open house tailgate party, 8 to 10 Saturday and Sunday mornings in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point. Enjoy donuts from Zippy Lube and coffee from Ford Craft and Coffee, and let's talk strategy before you head into battle. Find your glory, create a battle plan. Enjoy coffee and donuts every Saturday and Sunday morning in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find us on Facebook or weikert-lakepoint.com.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Located just south of 50th and France in Edina. Again, greatwallyedina.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, and he cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues, Zoe, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are, and we really appreciate their support and all the hard work that they've been doing for years and years and years here fighting for Mother Earth. We discuss a lot of things here, and today we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on to give us an update of what's happening here in Minnesota at the Capitol. A lot of great things happening. Again, just reminding, and I'm like reminding myself, we have a trifecta here. The governor, the Senate, and the House are all Democrats, and they're getting things done. We really appreciate that. But nationally, we're a little upset, but I won't get into that right now. But what we will get into is the news with Ogama that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hey, Bushu Anin relatives. My name is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. We're going to start with the good news. The good news is that today the state of Minnesota, the governor, Tim Walz, signed into law what is being called universal school lunches. It is a law that will provide breakfast and lunches at no charge to all students in Minnesota that are participating schools. It makes Minnesota only the fourth state in the country to do so. According to Minnesota Public Radio, Governor Walz told Minnesota parents that this is going to ease some of the stress on them. And Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who was also present, said that this was one of the most important things she's ever worked on. Many families are really celebrating this. The legislation is, of course, very similar to the program that was introduced during COVID-19's pandemic that provided meals for all students. And it was discontinued at the end of the last school year. And many parents in Minnesota, myself included, you know, we're kind of not ready to have school lunch costs, you know, rebudgeted in for us. So I'm really excited that beginning next year, the cost of school lunches for all students in Minnesota that are participating in those schools are going to have that option. There's also a law in Minnesota that requires schools to provide identical meals to all students. So that is really an exciting thing as well. So that's providing lunch or preventing lunch shaming practices where children are denied food or given substitutes that would indicate their family is maybe struggling in the financial realm. So those measures were kind of already in place, but to have this cover all school lunches and breakfast for students, even if the families don't meet the household income guidelines, is going to be a really big deal. Robert, as a teacher, as a former teacher, how are you feeling about this?
Well, you know, it's so important for that meal. You know, an equalizer out there, you know, and a lot of, you know, Ogama, we've talked about over the years, a lot of our students in the inner city here sometimes don't know where they're staying the night before, and school is their savior in a sense.
Right. Yes. And one important thing that this bill pointed out, and advocates for this bill have pointed out, is that there's many students whose families don't qualify under the USDA income guidelines, who are also, you know, at risk of being food insecure or are already food insecure, meaning that their family may not have enough food to feed everybody in the household every day. So they really rely on that free lunch or free breakfast at school to be able to make ends meet, to cover the cost of meals for their family, and to not have those school lunches be paid for because they don't meet those income guidelines is a hardship for a lot of families. I mean, since it ended last year, just for paying for school lunches for my daughter, I think I've sent $400 into her school this school year to cover breakfast and lunches for her, because she rides the school bus, so we don't do breakfast before we leave the house. It just doesn't work out for our schedules. So it's convenient to have breakfast available, but, you know, to budget that in when I'm talking about, you know, school clothes and school supplies and, you know, all those other costs that come with having a student, you know, that was a big hit this year. So I'm really excited that this is going through as a parent personally. The other thing I wanted to touch on as we come into what maybe resembles spring is that there are a few Flood the Court events coming up here towards the end of March. Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st at 8:30 a.m. at the Clearwater County Courthouse in Bagley, Minnesota, is the jury trial to support BA Grandma Jill during her upcoming trial. She took her third stand to protect water at the Mississippi headwaters, and she suffered chronic pain and permanent injury for taking that stand. There was an officer who damaged her during one of her arrests, and they're holding that rally again Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st at the Clearwater County Courthouse. And there are some Zoom support dates in Aiken County, March 23rd, beginning at 9 a.m. Central. There's Zoom support dates in Aiken County. There's in-person dates for Aiken County, March 31st as well. You can support Don Goodwin, Water Protector, April 4th in person at the Aiken County Courthouse. And you can support Tara Haska in person, April 5th at the Aiken County Courthouse. If you have not yet and you want details on that, go to Flood the Courts and sign up for the link. It's on actionnetwork.org, and click on Receive Line 3 Flood the Courts Updates. The last thing that I want to talk about, Robert, and something that's probably going to be a theme as we are going through our news today, it was announced yesterday that Minnesota regulators are monitoring a cleanup of 400,000 gallons of radioactive water from an Xcel Energy nuclear power plant in Monticello, Minnesota. The company is claiming that there's no danger to the public, but it has also come out that this leak that happened into the ground has happened since November. It began in November, and they did not go public with it, claiming they wanted to, you know more information about it. The water contains tritium, and they claim again that there's no you know, danger to the public. But I do know from looking on the maps that it looks like the nuclear power plant Monticello is, you know, very close to the Mississippi River. And it looks like there's ongoing monitoring at about 24 wells confirmed. And yeah, those things are just, I mean, it's absolutely atrocious that this even happened. For those of you who don't know Minnesota's locations, Monticello is about 35 miles northwest. That means upriver from Minneapolis-St. Paul. So that, you know, had the capacity, had it reached the Mississippi River, where many of the drinking water in for the Twin Cities comes out of, that could have been a lot worse. And we're still, you know, getting more information as the leak was confirmed back in November, November of 2022. And in between that time, Robert, I found something really interesting too. The nuclear power plant in Monticello was actually approved to stay in operation for another 20 years, like a week and a half ago, despite that they've been dealing with this leak since November 22nd. So I'm not really sure how that works out regulation wise, that they're, you know, just given a clean bill of health to continue operating for 20 years when they've clearly had a leak. And one of the things that's really concerning to me as I'm reading a lot of these articles is the same thing that concerns me when we talk about things like the Line 3 pipeline. There's not a lot of information in here from the company saying what they're going to do to prevent these things from happening in the future. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about that as we go along in the show today. And thanks for having me back, everybody. I've been gone a little bit here and there, so glad to be back.
Yep, great job as always. We're glad to have you back. That was Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Really appreciate it, the native-centric, and we're always protecting Mother Earth, so those updates are very imperative. Thank you so much. Hey, up next, State Senator Mary Kunish. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the Voter Protection Hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thanks, Zoe. And again, thanks, Ogama, for the great news update. Just crazy stuff. But now we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish here of the great state of Minnesota. And a lot of happenings up at the Capitol. And a lot of good things that are going on. And so we can't wait for this great report. Welcome, State Senator.
Good evening, everybody. Good to be here with you.
Yes, it's pretty awesome. So what's been going on, Senator? I know Ogama just reported, and I saw pictures of you and some of our Native crew watching the governor sign some bills. Mary, it's a good day to be not only Indian, but Indigenous and a Minnesotan.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know that the governor signed into law a whole bunch of stuff. I'll see if I can find the list of it. But one important thing that got signed in this week was the MIFBA bill, the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act bill. That was the bill that I and Representative Keeler authored to put in those protections should ICWA go away. So we got that taken care of, passed it off of the floor a week or so ago, and now the governor actually signed it for sure this past week, or excuse me, just yesterday. And yeah. Then in a couple of weeks, we're going to try to get our community together and do another ceremonial signing of that, because we really did rely on the voices of the community to be sure that we were doing the work in a good way. And the tribes had their very own work group that worked very hard to make sure that we had all our ducks in a row. And so, yeah, that was the really the great signing. And then today I got to also witness another signing of a bill to allow for universal meals for all of our students here in Minnesota. And so we students will no longer have to pay for lunches. So those that whose family are not able to for financial reasons don't have to go through the rigmarole of filling out documents and forms, and those that aren't able to pay don't have to worry about that anymore. So any kid can come to school and be fed, and we know that when our kids are hungry, it doesn't work very well to try to teach them. And again, Robert, you and I, having been former teachers, recognize that that's a real thing. That's a real deal. And Ogama, you've got young kids. You know what it's like when they're hungry. So nothing seems to work when you're hungry. So that was really so very, very exciting for today. In Minnesota, we had this terrible rash of catalytic converters being stolen and resold. So the governor signed a bill that would, that addresses that. These are all really important bills that we've been able to pass because we do have a DFL majority in our state government. And so many things have been held up over the past, since I was elected and, the first elected in the House in 2016, and we're finally unclogging everything. We're just putting good policy, good programs in, and it's been just absolutely delightful and exciting.
It's a lot of work, too. And I've been down there watching you work, and I'm going to be down there Tuesday for the big celebration down there at the Capitol. And I see how hard you guys work. I mean, I visited you on a separate bill and talked to you about that and ran around, talked to a bunch of senators and representatives. But it's a lot of work all crammed in a short time.
Yeah, we meet from January until May every year, and We have a lot of work to get done in that time, a lot of bills to be heard. I think I mentioned I have over 100 bills that I'm authoring. Wow. And they're good bills. It's not just like this and that. You know, it's really, really good legislation for Minnesota. And I'm just one person. You know, we've been able to move the needle on education, on healthcare, on housing. All of those things are going to make a big difference when it comes to the kind of life, the quality of life that we want in Minnesota. And I'm really sorry that, you know, there are other states that don't have that. We passed the PRO Act to ensure that women have access to abortions and have the right to choose what happens to their body. And we see all around the nation, states, you know, taking that back and putting even more restrictions on. Right. And so I'm really proud to, and I'm so thankful that I live in Minnesota and I have the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, and we are too. You know, our neighboring state there's a lot of anti-voting things going on, and that's all across the country, and we wanted to make it easier for our people to vote. You know, I have a quick question, and I don't want to be too controversial and surprise you with a question here. So if you really don't know, that's fine. But we just had this issue with Monticello and with the nuclear leakage since November. As a senator, what can you and how can we support you in a good way about this? And what can happen quickly or not quickly? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, there are all kinds of parameters and guardrails, that's the big buzzword these days, guardrails, that we put around nuclear energy. You know, Minnesota has we have one nuclear plant in Prairie Island, and then we've got this one up in Monticello. And, you know, the big worry, and we heard this from the tribes on last week when we had Sovereignty Day, you know, they're not against nuclear energy, but if you look down at Prairie Island, they are like within meters of this nuclear power plant, and they have one way out. They have one road to get out of those lowlands. So if it floods or if anything happens to that nuclear plant, and everybody will say, oh, it's safe, we've got all these guardrails, we have all these protections. And I have to say, my niece works down there, actually. But there are also big storage, nuclear storage caskets that are down there. And imagine if there is a flood or if there is any kind of upheaval in the land, you know, the earth. So what we can do, back to your question, is first of all, we need to know what went wrong and why and how it went wrong and what we need to do to ensure that that doesn't happen ever, ever, ever again. I'm sure the people of Monticello don't want that to happen ever, ever. I mean, and those downriver of the Mississippi. And then we need to have really good information, factual information by neutral parties who are the experts. And then perhaps we have to look at creating some kind of legislation. I'm sure they will come to the legislature and ask for money to do those things when, you know, the big CEOs and the chair people are earning a lot of money from the people that are using those services. But we do have the MPCA, the Minnesota Public MP, Minnesota
MPCA.
Pollution Control Agency, yes, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, that I'm sure is looking into it, and a number of other agencies that will have to ascertain what the problem is and what we have to do to ensure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it's been on our radar here on Native Roots Radio because we're just so upset about this and not being hearing about it. But thank you for that insight and information. We definitely do have to keep our eyes on. Mary, do you have time for another segment?
Yep, I can stay around.
Right on. All right. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota. We'll be right back. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen...
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Wind Lake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Unwanted attention for TikTok. CBS News has confirmed the Justice Department is investigating TikTok for possible spying on Americans. How to stop bank failures?
The president says increasing accountability for bank managers is the best way to prevent mismanagement in the future. So today he's asking Congress to give bank regulators new powers to impose fines and claw back compensation from bank managers when their banks fail.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Russia's president and his commissioner for children's rights. Here's CBS's Mary Alushnya.
The spokesperson for the Russian Foreign Ministry said that the decisions of the ICC have no meaning in Russia under Russian law from a legal point of view, that Russia does not cooperate with this body, and any sort of arrest warrants issued by this body will be legally null and void.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. One person is in the hospital after being shot by police in Oshkosh early this morning. Police say they were responding to a complaint about someone making threats. No officers were hurt. Wisconsin's longtime Secretary of State is retiring. Former State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski will take Doug LaFollette's place. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
LaFollette held the position as Secretary of State for 11 consecutive terms, spanning more than 40 years. Godlewski will be only the third woman in Wisconsin state history to serve as Secretary of State. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
In sports, Marquette beats Vermont. Kick off the big dance, they'll play Michigan State Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
South of 50th and Francis Edina. Again, greatwallyedina.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Right on. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we got a lot to talk about, a lot of positive things happening, a lot of news happening, free lunch for kids, that's right on, just all these great things. Mary, there's some stuff, too, that I don't know if it's controversial or what, but, you know, you have a person that you've been talking about with ranked choice voting. I mean, you can explain that a little bit to our listeners.
Mary, you're on mute. Sorry.
There we go. I didn't want to have you hear me chomping on popcorn. one of the very exciting things that happened today was I got to meet somebody that I have admired from afar, and it is Alaska's Congresswoman Mary Petola, and she is a congresswoman from up in Alaska that won her congressional seat that she probably wouldn't have, maybe might not have won if we had gone through the regular, three candidate, first choice sort of voting process. But she was elected, and they used ranked choice voting in the process for her election. So she's a Democrat, but she's a moderate, and she defeated former Governor Sarah Palin and Alaska Policy Forum member Dick Begich in an upset this past August. And then she ran again in November and won, and she became the very first Alaska Native member of Congress. Very first Alaska Native member of Congress. And she's the only Russian Orthodox as well, which is really interesting. She's also the very first woman ever to represent Alaska in the House and the first Democrat since 1972. So she's a rock star.
I was 11 when that last happened. Jeez, that was a long time ago.
Anyways, she was in town today. And so they brought her over to the Capitol because she testified in a hearing to support ranked choice voting. I got to meet her and speak with her a little bit. And then we had a little lunch together, and she went off and did her thing. And I just got back from sort of a little happy hour with other folks that support ranked choice voting. And I'm sure people are asking, what the heck is ranked choice voting? Right. Well, it's a different way of voting other than going into the polls, looking at the list, and just choosing one person. So it's more of a multi, like you choose your first choice, your second choice, and your third choice. And then based on that, so like in a single seat election, if a candidate receives a majority, which is 50% plus one, of first choice ranking in the first round, then the candidate wins. So if that candidate gets the most 50 plus 1% of the first choice, they automatically win. But if no candidate receives that 50%, they don't reach that threshold. Then there's an instant runoff where the second round takes place. And in that instant runoff, the candidate with the fewest first choice votes drops off. They're defeated. And those ballots now count towards those voters' second choice. And so that process continues until one candidate reaches a majority and wins. And Congresswoman Pottola was pretty convinced that if it wasn't for ranked choice voting up in Alaska, that she would not have been successful because it has been very much controlled by white men. And the fact that here a woman, Democrat, moderate, was able to succeed. And she's just a delightful person. She has, you know, her priorities match us down here in the lower 49. But I felt really lucky and excited today to meet her and hear about the work that she's been doing already.
Wow, that's exciting. You know, I always want to bring in Zoe here because she has that young mind and just a college graduate. On, do you have any questions or statements about that, Zoe?
I think it's exciting. I guess I didn't really know the impact that it would have, you know, what you're speaking to, Senator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if you could speak a little to like what that would look like for us, I guess, or if that's something that, you know, we're starting to consider in the Minnesota, you know, in the state.
Sure. So some of the municipalities already do ranked choice voting. So, for example, the mayoral campaign over in Minneapolis, Jacob Fry succeeded twice using ranked choice voting. And the way that the ranked choice voting folks here in Minnesota would like to do it, they would like to do it, you know, from the governor all down the ticket. But there are those that don't think Minnesota is quite ready for that. And one of them is our Secretary of State, Steve Simon. He thinks that at the municipal level, that's fine and it should work. But he doesn't know. And I think a lot of education has to go out around how this works because we're not used to it. And it sort of freaks a lot of people out. But the, you know, what they found is that it gives voters more choice and more power. And it also allows for other parties to participate in this. It requires those candidates to build a broad majority of coalitions. So, you know, rather than just going to our base of, like, for me, Democrats, I would have to reach out to Republicans, Libertarians, other parties and say, look, you know, if you can't make me your first choice, would you make me your second choice? And here's why. So you have to build those coalitions a lot stronger, and that's going to take time. It really does encourage positive campaigning and civility because, you know, as candidates look to become either the first or the second choice, if somebody comes to me and says, you're my first choice, but who should I have as a second choice? And I say, oh, Joe Schmo has been really rude. He's been passing out misinformation about me. He hasn't been this or that. They might not choose him. So they have to be civil in order to be chosen for a second or a third place. It also promotes more inclusive and diverse representation and just has proven to be successful along the way. So there are some cities that do this at the city level. Minneapolis does it at the governor's, at the mayoral level. And so I think it's going to take more education around this. It might be this summer that we would go around and talk to tribes and ask them how they feel about it, if they'd be interested in participating. We already are planning to reach out and talk about adding polling places or like mobile voting vehicles on tribal lands. So this might be part of the conversation we also have with tribes.
Mary, with ranked of choice voting, it's more inclusive, right? Isn't that what you were saying just earlier? It gives more people to come in and run.
Right, because if you have those different choices, it's not just one and done. We now have more opportunity to move a candidate up the rank as we go. So it's ranked choice voting. And that might be less nerve-wracking for candidates who are people of color, who are women, who are folks that have never run before for a public office and are nervous, but they would make a really good elected official. And so it really does expand the field of candidates. Because here in Minnesota, we have Republicans or Democrats. And if you are another party, you have to go out and you have to get X amount of signatures to be added, or you have to
primary?
Yes, not the primary, but what's the first one that we do when we choose our
endorsement?
Not the endorsement, but our precinct caucuses.
Yeah,
our precinct caucuses. Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
But our precinct caucuses, you know, if you get people out there from other parties and they can get the support, they get enough votes when we go through those primaries, then they can be added to the ballot. But, the way it stands, we're kind of a two-party system, and this would absolutely allow for other parties to participate.
Yeah, that's great right there. Mary, thank you so much for stopping in. It means so much to us. I think, Ogama, you got a minute, Ogama, if you got a statement or a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the people who are listening to us on air know, instead of watching us, that there's a little thing that says you can advocate for ranked choice voting in Minnesota or nationally. You can go to fairvotemn.org. That's fairvotemn.org.
Thank you so much, Ogama. And State Senator Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on and sharing all this great news and information.
Absolutely. You guys all have a good weekend.
I'll see you at the powwow tonight. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wah.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio. This week we'll be talking about universal free school lunch with the Metro Food Network. On Tuesday, the Minnesota Senate passed by 38-26 a program which guarantees breakfast and lunch for all students across Minnesota, regardless of family income. The universal school lunch bill already passed the Minnesota House, so now waits for governor's signature. Metro Food Justice this week on Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., and anytime via podcast.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants.
Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Good one. Hey, Ogama and Zoe, I got a powwow I got to go to, so I might be just leaving while you guys are in mid-sentence. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we should do a quick roundup, Ogama, and really let's talk a little bit about this unbelievable thing that's happening that we don't want to breeze over. We really want to talk about it, Ogama, you know, with this nuclear power plant. And I know years ago, before you guys were born, probably, that the American Indian movement was fighting these nuclear plants, and especially down in Prairie Island. And we knew things like this would happen, and especially in the depressed areas of tribes, tribal nations, tribal reservations, and things like that, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's other places that have advocated for this type of work as well. I was just kind of cruising and I found an article back from 2012 about a group that was working in Minnesota, an environmental group, and they kind of sounded the alarm about this power plant in Monticello, Minnesota, and talked about the amount of people whose drinking water would be affected if there was some sort of discharge. And it talked about this tritium discharge being the most common leak that happens at nuclear power plants. And I mean, it's just, it's really, I just can't count the number of times where there's you know, there's organizations, there's Native people, there's environmental activists that have called and said, you know, these are the kind of things that could happen if we allow these types of projects to come through. And time and time again, they're proven right. And yet the general public and, you know, the legislatures, the powers that be, they just don't listen. And I struggle to understand why that is.
Yeah, you know, Ogama, we're a little older than Zoe. And, you know, it feels like we've fought this battle before. And now Zoe's generation has to deal with it. Zoe, what's your thoughts? I mean, my goodness, you know, I'm 61 years old and you're just starting, and you know, Ogama, and Ogama has young, young children. This is devastating news if you really think about it.
Yeah, I feel almost desensitized to it at this point. I just think, you know, Robert, we were just talking about the Willow Project too, the other night, Ogama, and just like how devastating that news is. And it's just, like I've been saying, like every day something else, but I don't know. I still have to be really hopeful for the younger generation because they're just so innovative and they're coming up with so many different solutions and ideas and also just different attitudes on how to go about these issues. I also think a lot about, you know, solar energy and other types of clean energy that truly are clean, that aren't greenwashing, you know? And I think of people like, you know, Winona's son, Gwei Gasco, who's working at 8th Solar Fire, and he's going around to different reservations and teaching them about solar power. So I hope to see more initiatives and things like that happening to, you know, educate our youth on what these energy resources are and which ones are damaging and which ones actually could help. But yeah, what do you think about that, Ogama?
You know, I have to keep up the hope just like you do. And I do see a lot of really good efforts. And, you know, greenwashing is another thing that we see a lot of, too. And one of those things, you know, with the electric cars and even some of the solar, you know, has been greenwashed a little bit, that there's a lot of those, you know, precious minerals that are required to process and make those batteries that require mining. And copper and nickel mining is really a big threat to Minnesota right now as well. And, you know, I really would like to see more people pushing for truly green energy, like you said, like hemp batteries and those types of things that don't require that level of mining to happen. And, you know, as a parent, like Robert said, of young children, you know, I was just sitting. I had to take my cat to the vet yesterday. He's fine, mostly. It's nothing, you know, disastrous that he was there for. And, you know, I seen somebody, I think Robert let me know that this had happened. And I started looking up articles of it. And I mean, my stomach was in my feet. And, you know, I'm thinking about my baby. I'm thinking about my 10-year-old, and I'm thinking about these types of dangers and why we as human beings keep taking these kinds of risks. And, you know, according to the Environment America group, or the it's actually the Minnesota Public Interest Research Group for Environment Minnesota's Research and Policy Center. As of 2012, they reported that 75% of U.S. nuclear power plants had leaked tritium, and that tritium is a radioactive form of hydrogen that can cause cancer and genetic defects. And, you know, that was as of 2012. So I don't know if those numbers are, you know, larger or smaller. I'm really struggling to find updated numbers on that, because a lot of these organizations, the pollution control agencies in those places, they don't want us to know those numbers, right? Because that would indicate that perhaps they aren't doing their job. That would let us know what's really going on. And, you know, I have a really hard time trusting a lot of these agencies.
You know, Ogama and Zoe, I think this is where government falls short for us, because we talk about hemp batteries. Now, if the government right out supported it, helped fund these startups, and got us out of this mess with minerals, I think that's the capacity what government can do in a good way. But I don't see anybody stepping up to that, or maybe not the technology's up there enough now. I don't know. But to me, that would be a governmental help, you know, like building bridges and things like that.
Well, you got to follow the money, Robert. There's no money in startups, in the government funding startups. They can't project, they can't schedule money into a budget on the projection of a startup supposedly being able to do this. You know, like, that's one of the big drawbacks to the government, you know, funding this. But is the way that the
government can bail out banks, rich people, all these things that have happened, you know, since COVID. And then also you're old enough to remember 2008 and the bank collapse then.
I am. But that's almost a different issue, because that's like a circular cycle, because, you know, they bail out the banks and the banks pay them back in campaign donations and those types of things. And, you know, that's the circle of political life with the U.S. government when we're talking about, you know, big bailouts for corporations. But, you know, when we're talking about things like a big thing that's coming up is the budget policy for the federal government. And a big part of that budget is the money for Native people. And, yeah. You know, that includes, you know, IHS and, you know, all kinds of other funding that directly affects Native people throughout the nation. And, you know, the way that our budgets are done here in the United States is just, it really doesn't make any sense. You know, they're kind of playing with imaginary numbers, and yet they won't invest into these companies that could help bail us out of this, because those numbers are imaginary. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that happens there.
It is, but young ones like you and Zoe have to, like, say, I've had enough. I've had enough of this. And maybe rank choice voting has something to do with this, too. I don't know. But to get people in there to move and groove and not. I saw, we're ending the show here real soon, but I saw old TikTok of Bernie Sanders on old talk show when he was super young. And guess what? He was saying the exact same things as he was 30, 40 years later. It's just a lot of us have caught up to it, and it's not white noise, and it's things that need to be done, and your generation and the boomers need to really step it up, and I don't see that happening, so that thank God for Gen Z. And go ahead, Ogama, we got 30 seconds.
I just want to remind people that February 3rd of 2012, there was a leak of tritium at the Prairie Island Nuclear Power Plant in Minnesota as well.
Oh, my God. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Free Leonard Peel.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.